नमस्ते सरस्वतो नित्यानंद अद्वैत गिराधार शिव सजी गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 महाक्षति हरम सुपुरुष ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So we continue reading. Fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Daksha curses Lord Shiva, chapter 2, text 21. Ya etan martyam udishya. Ya etan martyam udishya. Bhagavatya prati druhi. Bhagavatya prahi druhi. Druhyatya gya pridak drishtis. Drutyatya gya pridak drishtis. Tattvata vimukkam bhavet. Tattata vimukha bhavet. Ya etan martyam adishya. Bhagavatya prati druhi. Druhyatya gya vridak drishtis. Tattata vimukha bhavet. Anyone who has accepted Daksha as the most important personality and neglected Lord Shiva because of envy is less intelligent, and because of visualizing in reality will be bereft of transcendental knowledge. Purport. The first curse by Nandishwar was that anyone supporting Daksha supporting him would deprive one of transcendental knowledge. Daksha, Nandishwar said, identified himself with the body like other materialistic persons and was trying to derive a power different from the soul. Therefore, Nandishwar's curse was that anyone who supported Daksha would be bereft of transcendental knowledge of the soul and thus also be deprived of knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ya etan martya mudishya bhagavatya prati druhi druhyatya gya pritak drishtis tattvato vimukho bhavet. Anyone who has accepted Daksha as the most important personality and neglected Lord Shiva because of envy is less intelligent, and because of visualizing in reality will be bereft of transcendental knowledge. So we are continuing to discuss this very important story, how Daksha cursed Lord Shiva and what happened thereafter. The aftermath was pretty severe. We can understand, but it would not happen, actually, if Nandishwar would just follow in the footsteps of Mahajan, Lord Shiva, and would just walk away, right? This is what Lord Shiva did. And this is Vaishnav behavior, right? Vaishnav does not become offended if someone offends him, because he understands, okay, these people are in ignorance, okay, so there is no point of talking to ignorant man, right? If someone is, you know, for example, mentally incapable, You wouldn't try to talk logic to that such person, right? Okay. The man is just cracked, so what to do? There is no meditation for him, only medication will help, right? So, but devotees don't want to associate with such people because it's dangerous actually, right? If you associate with someone who is mentally disturbed, then what will be the result of such association? You'll pick up the same, right? You'll become mentally disturbed. So, and of course, material world means everyone's mentally disturbed. As Srila Prabhupada was telling the story, that one man committed murder, and he was, so you know, undergoing trial, but there was a suspicion that maybe he has some mental disease, but they couldn't determine exactly whether he was sane or insane. These things are very difficult, right? Sometimes to conclude. And we'll tell later why it is so. Why the borderline between sanity and insanity is so blurry, right? And this is what this story illustrates, that they called in some very famous psychiatrist, professor of psychiatry, and they asked him, "Can you identify whether this man is sane or insane?" And so he examined this man and he came out and he said, "If you want to excuse him on the ground of his insanity, you can do so." So this answer was not very conclusive. "You can do so." So is he sane or insane? And professor said very interesting thing. He said, "In my entire career as a psychiatrist, in my entire life, I never came across anyone who is sane." So this is the conclusion. Material world is basically mental asylum, right? Because what is happening in the mental asylum? Basically, there are people with distorted identity, right? Their identity is false. They instead of identifying themselves as they are, they identify themselves with something they are not, right? For example, if you go to any mental asylum, you can easily find a couple of Jesus Christs and a few Mohammeds, number of Napoleons, Hitler, Stalins, all kinds of so-called great personalities, right? And so it is madness to identify ourselves with something we're not. But this is what's happening in the material world, right? Because we identify ourselves with this bag of bones. Yeah, is it not mad to carry on yourself big bag of bones and say, "This is me"? This is the story of the material world, right? This is how crazy the soul becomes by giving up Krishna's association, right? And so that's why Vaishnavas, they're not surprised if someone behaves in insane way. Rather, it is surprising if someone still behaves in the same way, right? Like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was saying, do not be surprised with someone who leaves Krishna consciousness. Be surprised that someone is staying, still staying. And Srila Prabhupada was saying to that effect, impossible proposal. But this is the glory of such great personalities like Srila Prabhupada, that they can make the impossible possible, right? By the power of devotion, they prompt Krishna to make the impossible possible. And so that's why Lord Shiva, after he had this tirade from Daksha, who was accusing him and criticizing him so badly, he didn't say a word, he just stood up and left. But Nandishwar didn't leave. Of course, from one hand, whatever he says in here in this verse is correct, right? That his statements are correct, but the circumstances he made those statements were not the best circumstances, right? Because the atmosphere was already heated and he made it even worse with his curses. To curse people, this is not Vaishnav behavior. Of course. There are some exceptional circumstances, but this was not the right circumstance, as Srila Prabhupada explained in the previous purpose. That he said it was wrong to curse all the brahmanas there, because, as it was explained in the previous verse, when Daksha was criticizing and blaspheming Lord Shiva, they tried to stop him, right? But he didn't, and then he left. Actually, they were not agreeing with him, but Nandishwar is cursing them just because they didn't take an action. But what can you do, right? If someone went mad, unless you're a psychiatrist, what can you do? It's clinical, right? But anyway, that Srila Prabhupada supports in a purport everything Nandishwar says, because this is true. It's absolute truth what he spoke. Nevertheless, it is very important to be what he said started war, right? Actually started long hostility between Brahma, Vaishnavas and Shaivites, right? And war, it is very important for us to understand. War will never determine who is right, right? War can only determine who is left. And there are not many people left unharmed in that circumstance, right? So it's like war is very wrong thing. I mean, of course, we have an exception, Kurukshetra war, but we can understand from the description that Arjuna didn't want war by any means. And actually, even Krishna tried to prevent this war. If we read Mahabharata carefully, he did everything possible and impossible to prevent it. And only when he actually realized that it is inevitable, there is no other way to reform these people, he actually sanctioned that war, right? And then he told Arjuna, no, that I can share your sentiment, but in these circumstances, you have to go and kill them all. And so, therefore, it's very exceptional measure, right, to start a war. But this is what Nandishwar did here, and it actually haven't done any good. Even though, in one sense, we can say that followers of Lord Shiva, because Lord Shiva is the topmost Vaishnava, right? They are also associated with serving the Supreme Lord, even though their standards are much lower, of course. But there is always a hostility. And actually this is very interesting, because here Daksha and his followers, they represent Karmakanda following of the religion, right? They are very devoted to the letter of the law, of the book, right? And so, but the followers of Lord Shiva, they represent Protestant movement, right? So it's very interesting that in any religion you will always have these two extremes: Catholics and Protestants, Shunis and Shias, Karmakanda and Sahajiya, etc., right? Anything, you take any religion, you will always find this extreme, right? Someone, or what does Rupa Goswami says? It's Niyamagraha, right? Niyamagraha is one thing which destroys devotional service, and Niyamagraha has two meanings, right? What's one meaning? Yeah, just following the rules for the sake of the rules, right? Just to show how great I am and become proud of that, right? Like Daksha is here. He's very strictly following. He, you know, he's really expert in Karmakanda sacrifices. He knows everything to the letter. You ask him where does it say in scripture and what does it say, he will quote to you without thinking, right? His head is full of shastra, but nevertheless his heart is full of pride, right? So that's Karmakanda contamination, or Smarta Brahman, right? Smarta Brahmana contamination. And then another extreme is Niyamagraha. What's the other meaning? Rejecting the rules and regulations, right? And just do what you feel like. Be spontaneous, Prabhu. Don't be so much attached to the rules and regulations, right? So, and this is another extreme. And where is Krishna consciousness standing? It's neither, right? Nor blind following, nor whimsical speculations, right? It is doing what Krishna wants us to do. And of course, Krishna wants us to follow, but he wants us to do it for his sake. That's why devotee will follow if Krishna wants him to follow, and whatever Krishna doesn't want, he will not follow, right? So that's the position of the devotee. And sometimes it's very difficult to determine how to act in any circumstance. It's like in the 10th canto it's been described that Mother Yashoda in Damodar Leela, when she was cooking for Krishna and churning butter for Krishna, but then Krishna started demanding her breast milk. You know, it's all Krishna's services, and so how could Mother Yashoda decide which one is priority? But then Srila Prabhupada explains, Krishna is giving the intelligence to his devotees that what he should do as the priority in each circumstance. And so ultimately devotional service is completely dependent on Krishna. Krishna is giving the intelligence to the devotees who are serving him with love. Tada mi būti jau tam jena mamu paientite, vat pritipurvakam, that vajatam pritipurvakam, service with love should be the focus of the devotee, and then Krishna will give the intelligence. Otherwise, Krishna consciousness tends to be very confusing, right? What to do in different circumstances. And so, but the most important thing is to avoid the confusion, is to follow in the footsteps of Mahajans, which Nandishwar failed to do in this circumstance, right? That Lord Shiva showed by his example what to do. He stood up and left. But Nandishwar stayed to curse all the brahmanas, right? And therefore, I mean, we are mentioning this topic quite emphatically because this has actually, this single factor has been the greatest contributor to the development of materialism and atheism, right? Actually, clash between religious groups is the greatest discouraging factor from, you know, making population follow the laws of religion, right? Because people see, okay, these guys, they fight in this for the sake of God. I don't want to fight with anyone. I want to live in peace and harmony, right? Why should I join either sides? Both sides are complete idiots, right? Because they think God belongs to them. And so why should I be part of this game? You know, I have better things to do in life. And so this is very important for us to be mindful of. And this is why was the first and foremost purpose of ISKCON. It is very interesting, right? Because it's not even religious in one sense. Because, as one devotee mentioned, there is no even word Krishna in the first purpose of ISKCON. And not even word God appears in the first purpose of ISKCON. It just says to systematically propagate spiritual knowledge to society at large and educate all people in the techniques of spiritual life in order to achieve real unity and peace, in order to check the imbalance of values in life, which is a very sophisticated way of saying help people to solve their problems, right? And achieve real unity and peace in the world. But then Srila Prabhupada was saying that charity begins at home. And so, if there is no unity and peace amongst Vaishnavas, can we give to the world something we don't have? But this is why we have Bhagavatam. We have all these descriptions which help us to understand what to avoid, right? Lessons from history. But as we were saying yesterday, that greatest lesson from history that nobody learns from history. Everybody wants to make their own mistakes. But it's all coming from bodily concept of life. Envy of the Supreme Lord. And yes, Daksha was envious of Lord Shiva, for sure. And that's why he criticized Lord Shiva. But then Nandishwar was envious of Daksha. So, because he criticized Lord Shiva. So that's why this is like the first and foremost lesson we can learn from this pastime, that two wrongs are only a beginning, right? After that, we'll see how things will really get you know, much worse. Right? Things are not as bad yet. There will be so much cursing and counter-cursing happening, which is not our business, right? It's like one devotee that was many, many years ago, but one devotee who was doing book distribution, and he was Brahmana initiated, and he was very proud of that, having Brahminical thread, which, as we understand, can sometimes be used for cursing, right? Or might be used for cursing. There have been historical accounts of that. And so then he was asking his spiritual master, you know, sometimes we come across very envious people at book distribution, and so can we curse them? And spiritual master responded, there is no need of cursing them because they're already cursed by the material nature, right? So why do you want to add insult to injury, right? These people are deserving our compassion because they're heading towards very horrible consequences of their behavior. And we should try to help them as much as we can, but if we cannot help, at least we should not make them even more inimical. It's like the first the ninth offense of the Holy Name is to preach to materialistic people, right? Of those who cannot appreciate what you're saying. And that's why Srila Prabhupada explains in one chapter of Krishna book that sometimes sadhus are speaking and sometimes sadhus are silent. So one devotee was asking why sadhus are silent sometimes. I mean, speaking, that's understandable, they are preaching Krishna consciousness, but why sadhus are silent? But then Srila Prabhupada said, because they are not obliged to anyone. Right? And so sometimes silence can be much greater preaching than, you know, all this firing with, you know, shlokas at people. We can see the example of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, right? When Sarvabhauma Acharya was so proud that he was thinking he can teach Lord Chaitanya something. And Lord Chaitanya agreed, right? Even though Gopinath Acharya was telling him, you know, like, you're in complete delusion. But Lord Chaitanya said, no. He's my well-wisher, so let him teach. And then what Lord Chaitanya did for 7 days, he just kept quiet, right? And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was like, quoting this scripture and that, making so many brilliant points, as he thought. And Lord Chaitanya was never impressed, you know, like, he didn't express anything. Neither approval nor disapproval. He was sitting with completely neutral expression on his face, just listening. And was not falling asleep either, right? That's the most amazing thing. You have, you know, class which goes on for 7 days, non-stop, and you don't even fall asleep once. Of course, you can say that he's God, he can do that. Some people say, you know, if I listen to you silently and never interrupt you, it doesn't mean you have to wake me up. Right? But Lord Chaitanya was not even falling asleep, right? He's just sitting there and listening carefully. And then at the end of the 7 days, Sarvam Bhattacharya became a little bit concerned, what's happening? Why is he not so excited with what I'm saying and why he's not asking any questions? He's supposed to be. And then when he actually asked, what do you think about it, right? And then Lord Chaitanya said, okay, if you're interested, I'll tell you. And then he told him, right? So this is a very interesting illustration of the principle which is expressed in the modern context as first, seek to understand and then be understood. So Lord Chaitanya showed this, you know, he fully listened to every single argument Sarvam Bhattacharya had, you know, because in 7 days, non-stop, you can pretty fully explain yourself, right? So, and then he had every single point, every single misconception Sarvam Bhattacharya had at hand, and he could easily refute it all, and Sarvam Bhattacharya, that was it, right? That he fired all his bullets. He was empty. So he was, he had to surrender to Lord Chaitanya. And so this is an amazing example how silence can be much more effective preaching than any attempts, you know, like arguments. That's why it says, Tarko Pratishta Shrutaya Vibhina, that any amount of logic and reasoning and arguing can never establish the truth of the Shastra, right? And even if you ask other, you know, sages and saints what they think, you'll be even more confused. Because Nasav Rishir, Yas Yamatam Nabinam, that all these sages, they contradict each other. Every sage, every Muni has his own point of view, right? So it's really confusing. Sometimes it becomes even more, even confusing listening to Bhagavatam classes, right? Because every speaker has his own point of view on the same Prabhupada's teachings, right? It's amazing how, you know, multifaceted Prabhupada's books are, that they can be explained from varieties of perspectives. So what to do? This is like a billion-dollar question. And therefore Mahabharata says, Dharmasya tatva mihitam guhaya mahajanaya nagata sapantha, that the truth of Dharma is hidden in the hearts of the great souls, Mahajans. And that's why the best course of action is to follow in their footsteps. Right? That's why sometimes I'm saying that reading books about Srila Prabhupada, example of his life, is not less and maybe sometimes even more important for us than reading Prabhupada's books, because Prabhupada's books are philosophy, but this is the best example how this philosophy, you know, how Srila Prabhupada lived this philosophy in practical life in Kali Yuga circumstances, right? The application of the philosophy. And so, this is the best course of action. Instead of taking law in our hand, we should just follow in the footsteps of great souls. Because this world is full of envious people. And we cannot, even by exposing them, that will not change them, right? That Nandishwar exposed Daksha and exposed all his followers, but it didn't really change them, right? Of course, after Daksha had to change his body, there was a, I guess, first, or at least one of the first, instances of head transplant. Such thing is not really deemed possible, even by the modern, you know, with all their scientific advancement in medical science, they cannot think of that, you know, how to do head transplant. It's too complicated. But we'll hear in this story that Daksha got his head transplanted. And so only after he got his head transplanted, you know, he got some common sense, okay, probably I've done something wrong, you know, because my head seems to be different. Probably I deserved, you know, I did something to deserve such a severe reaction. So then Daksha, you know, became repentant and apologized to Lord Shiva, etc. But yeah, before that he didn't respond. He didn't care. He was completely sure that he is right. And this is very typical, because even though Daksha is a very great personality, but what's his greatness? The word Daksha, what does it mean? Expert, right? Actually, this is one of the qualities of the devotees, right? Amongst the qualities of the devotees, the one which is Daksha is the expert. So Daksha was Daksha. He was expert. But what was his expertise? He was Prajapati. He was progenitor. So he was expert, as Prabhupada explains, in sex life. So he was sex professional. That was his expertise. And so what do you expect from sex professional, right? You do not expect him to be highly elevated spiritually. He had high position because he knew Shastra and everything else, but and he was a Vaishnava. This is very interesting, that amongst Vaishnavas you can get many different shades and grades of people, right? And it's not even necessary that Vaishnavas will become, all the Vaishnavas will become perfect. I guess this is one of the big surprises for most people, right? That you enter into the Vaishnava Sangha and you have such an exalted philosophy, but then as the time goes by you bump into people who act completely opposite to that, right? And then you become surprised how this is possible. Okay. It's a material world, everything is possible, right? And so therefore there is only one thing which can actually help us to advance in our spiritual life, and which is very, very prominent feature of real devotion. Because real devotion means smartavyo satatam vishnu vismritavyo najatuchi. This is what Krishna consciousness means. To always remember Krishna and never forget him under any circumstances, right? And then Padma Purana says, sarvavidhi nishedasyu radayo eva kinkara, that all other rules and regulations are just subservient to this single principle. And so, how do we remember the Supreme Lord? What's our primary method of remembering the Supreme Lord? Anyone remembers? How do we remember the Supreme Lord? What's the method? Yes, thank you. We are chanting Hare Krishna. Like Prabhupada, he met with one man. He just came to see him. This was very amazing episode, that he came to see Srila Prabhupada. He wanted to see Srila Prabhupada, but he had no questions. And Prabhupada asked, you have any questions? He said, no. I just wanted to see you. We would be very confused in this situation, right? But not Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada said, okay, if you came to see me, sit down. And he took harmonium and he started chanting Hare Krishna. And we chanted Hare Krishna for like an hour. And then after... And this man was sitting and listening. And after that, Srila Prabhupada said, okay, this is what we do. We chant Hare Krishna. And he gave him prasadam and that was it. So you came to see Vaishnava, okay, get full dose of Harinam, of Krishna consciousness, right? But it's interesting that Srila Prabhupada chose, instead of preaching to him, he chose to chant, purify him by kirtan, right? And so, chanting Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada says, is the best method for us, how we can remember the Supreme Lord. And how do we make sure that we can remember Krishna all the time and chant Hare Krishna all the time? And Lord Chaitanya explains that secret, right? Trinat api sunichina taror api sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtanya sada hari. Three things, right? One should be extremely tolerant, like a tree, more tolerant than a tree, and more humble than the blade of grass, and very respectful, and not expecting any respect for oneself. So these three conditions are required to enable one to constantly chant the holy name, and thus really become Krishna conscious. And Lord Shiva, in this particular episode, is the best example. That's why Vaishnava Navyata Shambhu, right? He was so badly offended. Even, I listened to one class on this verse, and the devotee makes the point that Daksha even told Lord Shiva, you will not get any share from the yagya, right? And just imagine, right, that someone tells you, we're not going to give you prasadam anymore. How will you feel, right? And so, you know, he offended Lord Shiva in every possible way, and Lord Shiva didn't even object, didn't even say the word, he just stood up and left. Very humble, right? So, which actually was a proof of what Nandishwar said, that Lord Shiva had no envy, right? That even though Daksha was so envious of him, he didn't express any dissatisfaction. He just silently left. And so this is the best example for us, that the kind of consciousness these great souls have, if we imbibe this consciousness, then we can become perfectly Krishna conscious. Hare Krishna. So, anyone has any questions, comments? Yes, Krishna does. He always has good, nice questions. And he is first. Yes.
In 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it said that Dhamma Purushana Kishakshare Chara Sarvani Bhutani Putasaksha Jyotite. It said that they are preserving the fallible. And the infallible are people from the spiritual world. If we are infallible, why did we fall down from the spiritual world?
Very interesting question. Krishna Das Prabhu is asking that. Chapter 15 of Bhagavad Gita explains that there are two types of living entities, fallible and infallible. And those who are infallible, they are all in the spiritual world. And so if we were in the spiritual world, as Srila Prabhupada explains, and we were infallible, so how that happened that we fell to the spirit, to the material world, right? And so this is a very deep question, of course, and to answer this question conclusively, GBC published a whole book, which is called Our Original Position. But in a nutshell, yes, there are material and spiritual worlds, and those who live in the spiritual world are infallible, and those who live in the material world are fallible. But the position of the soul is Jivira Tatastha Shakti Vedabet Prakash, that spirit soul is Tatastha Shakti, means it is marginal energy, right? It is between the material and spiritual worlds, and that's why living entity has choice between material and spiritual world. And unfortunately, I guess we were too close to the border of the material world and we made the wrong choice. We fell under the influence of Maya, and that's why we're in the material world. But those who are infallible, those who can never fall, they don't even belong to that category. They belong to the Shakti category, like Srimati Radharani or Krishna's parents and other very close associates of Krishna. They belong to the Shakti category. So they can never fall because they are not Jivas. But we are Jivas, so we have the opportunity to choose, and we made the wrong choice. All right? Thank you. Very deep question. All right? Anyone else? Okay. So, thank you all very much. Rantarachi Madhbhagavatam ki jai, Shalabrahupada ki jai, Nitai Gorpanandi.